Okay, well, Dayton's right. There's a fair amount of fear up here right now. So you'll have to bear with me a little bit as I learn how to do this and learn what works and what doesn't work and so on. So I appreciated the service so far this morning. I really appreciated the emphasis on how God can change people and how that prayer is so important in our lives, and it truly is, and how God is faithful. And that sort of ties into with what I wanted to talk about this morning. You have to excuse me, I have a little bit of a cold, and so I might sound a little croaky up here. I would like to talk about faith, and I wasn't sure how to divide this up and make it something that was would be teaching and maybe something that you could take and apply to your life. I wanted to be encouraging. So, but I thought I'd look at faith and maybe more specifically, what is faith? How is faith worked out in the life of a Christian? And I'd like to also look at, I'm going to answer kind of three questions about faith. What is faith? Why should we have faith specifically in God? And what does faith look like? And mostly I'm going to spend time on that. What's faith look like in the life of a Christian? And I'll use a bunch of examples maybe from Hebrews and other places in the Bible to show that. I had to ask, what do you think of when you think of faith? What do I think of when I think of faith? I think we'd all agree that faith is essential to being a Christian. We talk about it a lot. It's a subject of much in the Bible. It's mentioned a lot in the Bible. And in fact, whether people will admit it or not, everybody has faith, whether they're a Christian or not. I think almost everybody, if you could get them right down to it, they would say, yes, I have faith. And what is it in? It may be in lots of different things. Some people say, well, you know, I don't believe anything unless I see it with my eyes. So they would try to deny that they have faith, but they do have faith in their eyesight and their brain and so on. So it's not totally true. Today, you know, people might have faith in their money or their good looks. I suppose Hollywood, you could find people that have faith in their body, their good looks. That's how they get from day to day. You might have faith in your congressman or the latest technology or environment or some passing religious fad that goes around, and you latch onto that and you follow that religion until it kind of fades away, and then you go on to another one. An interesting thing I came across, this is kind of, it's kind of gruesome in a way, but there are people that believe that that in future they'll have technology that can solve any disease or any sort of illness that you have and make you live forever and so on. And so they choose to be frozen when they die, in the hopes that in some time in the future, scientists will be able to revive them and give them a good life and heal their diseases, whatever they may have died from, cancer, whatever, they'll be able to fix all that. Seems like a very vain faith to me. But sometimes I think maybe I too have faith in, I put my faith in things that are not, don't really make sense when I really stop and look at it. Why am I having faith in this? I may not even consciously realize it, that I'm putting my faith in something that is silly. So I'd like to look first off at what faith is. And I didn't really get this totally out of the Bible or the dictionary or anything else. I guess I took some of the ideas I found in the Bible and tried to put it together. I think it's fairly simple that the faith I'm talking about is, first off, believing in something, and secondly, it's acting on those beliefs. So a real faith, you know, you can believe in something and yet not have faith in it if you don't follow those beliefs where they will lead you. I'd like to read, I'm going to read this whole chapter of Hebrews 11, but I'd like to read the first verse just to begin here. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith is, it's hard to get your fingers on it and say, well, this is what faith is. I had to think of a seed. You can see the seed, but you can't see what the seed is going to become. You have to go plant it, you have to go take care of it, and then when it's all over, you harvest it, then you can see what that is. You may plant a seed in the ground, you don't. Darlene was saying that when we planted last year, we planted corn, and the children helped with that. They put this little kernel of corn in the ground, and they said, but I want it right now. They couldn't imagine, you know, the process that it takes. And you can't visualize a ear of corn from just the kernel. It's hard to see that. The other thing that happened to us on this trip to Missouri is we were driving along. I had faith that our van would get us to Missouri and then to Tennessee. And partway there, my faith started to fail a little bit because there was a strange noise coming from the front of the car, and it got louder and louder and louder, and I didn't know what it was. I had some ideas, but I wasn't sure, and I just prayed that we could make it to Missouri, where I knew we had a day or two I could fix it if it wasn't too big. So less than 2 miles from our destination, it started to really make an extra loud squealing noise, and we pulled in there, and I looked underneath there, and I figured out what it was, and it was a water pump, so I was able to fix it. But so faith is, it's important to have faith in the right things. Your faith, it gives you something to believe in. It determines your goals. It motivates your actions. And it gives you a worldview. People that have faith in God, they look at things, they look at facts from science, and they interpret them in the light of creation. Scientists that don't believe in God will look at the same facts and interpret them in the light of evolution, maybe. So it can determine a lot of things that you have to go back to the basics and realize that that's actually what's influencing me here. I'd like to look next at why we should put our faith in God. There's could be many reasons. This is just something I thought of, a couple reasons here that are why we should put our faith specifically in God. Number one, I wrote, He's trustworthy. There's no one, there's nothing more faithful or trustworthy than God. Psalms 36, starting at verse 5, I'm going to read here just this verse, and then I have some other to read in Psalms as well. It says, Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and Thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. So David's saying that your faithfulness, Lord, is beyond me. It's as high as the clouds, and who knows how high that is. It's very great. 2 Samuel 22:31 says, As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in Him. And in Psalms, you know, David, he talks frequently about trusting God. And it seems like in the Old Testament, the word trust is used more, and in the New Testament, the word faith is used more. I found these verses in Psalms 36 or 34. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want for them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. So we see in these verses, you can quickly pick out several things that God is trustworthy in. He listens, he saves, he protects, he's good, he provides. And if I tried to gather all the things in the Bible and verses that talk about God being trustworthy, it would take a long time. So that number one, he's trustworthy. Number two, he's the only way to salvation. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And in Acts 4, verse 12, it says, Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So a reason to trust and put your trust in God, he is the way of salvation. Not only is he trustworthy, he is the way of salvation. And number three, he requires it of his children. this verse in Hebrews 11, verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And Galatians 3:11 says, the just shall live by faith. So it's pretty simple. If we want to please God, we have to have faith in him. We have to live out our lives in faith. Okay, on to what I wanted to talk about mostly was how, or what does godly faith look like? How do we have godly faith? And this is not really as much how, but maybe it's more, I'm going to show examples of people that had faith and focus on the things that were significant about their faith, that shows a characteristic of faith. First off, I'd like to read Hebrews 11. I think I'll just read that whole chapter, starting at verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph, and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down, after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and David also and of Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Okay, so this goes on at length about the different people we could look to in the Bible that had faith and the way that their faith was shown in their life. And it's full of actions. First, I'd like to notice that godly faith focuses on the goal. It looks beyond the present for its answers to life. Life brings up many strange things and many questions, but we look to the end, we look to the goal as the time we will get our answers. Someone said, if you have no faith in the future, you have no power in the present. And as we focus on the goal, we see the big picture. We can often look back and see the big picture. I had to think of Joseph in Genesis when his brothers came and he revealed himself to his brothers and they were so repentant and so sorry for what they had done. He said, you know, I know it was bad, the things that happened, but he said God meant it for good. God did it on purpose that we could be delivered, that our family could be delivered during this famine. He was willing to be used by God in that way to deliver Israel from the famine. And I had to ask myself, what would have happened if he had said, if he had rebelled against that, and he decided, I'm just going to forget God. I'm someplace, nobody's going to see what I do. I'm just going to forget it. But no, he was willing to be faithful there, and so God used that faithfulness to make a way for Israel to I guess they would have all perished in the famine, if not, probably. And focusing on the goal, faith is also prepared. In verse 7 of this chapter, it says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. So faith is prepared. Noah was prepared for this flood that came. God warned him, God gave him the instructions, Noah did it, he was ready when it came. Faith, in focusing on the goal, it gives us an answer to disappointments and tragedy that happen. So often we have a hard time saying, well, why did this happen? And we can't answer those questions a lot of times, but we can focus on God and put our faith in him and know that He's going to work it out for our good if we love him. Next thing that I noticed about faith is that it works in the present. It doesn't wait for some future time. It works now. It works every day. In 1 Timothy 6:12 it says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Gives the idea of fighting every day for this faith. And in doing that, it's being faithful now. Joseph, as I mentioned, was an example of that. He was faithful when he was a servant of Pharaoh or of Potiphar. He was faithful as a prisoner in prison. And he was faithful then serving under Pharaoh. He never let any of those things change his faith. And also, faith is ready to go and do. Like Abraham, in verses 8 and 9, it says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. So Abraham left his land and went out to a place he didn't know. He was ready to go when God asked him to go. Another thing about faith is that godly faith, it forgets the past. I don't think maybe we should say it totally forgets everything that happened, but it looks in the past in the proper perspective. Paul, who persecuted the church, could have had lots of reasons to say, you know, woe is me. I did this, he could just beat himself up over the fact that he killed people, he killed Christians. He could have beat himself up over that fact and never been able to fulfill his duties or his calling because of his constantly beating himself up. But no, he knew where to put those temptations to think about the past. He said in Philippians 3:13, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." So he put those things in the past, and he worked to make his life faithful now. Another thing about faith is it's tenacious, or it holds on. It holds on to God through the worst times, through the best times, through everything. We have lots of examples of martyrs who held on to God through the worst times. You know, maybe sometimes it's harder to hold on to God when everyone around you is doubting, and the world around you shows you so many attractive things. It's hard to hold on to God, but godly faith holds on through all those things, whether they're persecution or a world that influences you, it holds on. And last, I'd like to just look at the fact that godly faith is not in vain. This isn't really necessarily a characteristic of faith, but it is the truth about faith. It's not in vain. We can be sure that God's promises will come true. God's faithfulness is forever. And we may rely on something man has made or done, but it's going to fail us sometime. But God, who's eternal, who else would it make sense to put our faith in but God, who has made heaven and earth? And also, I was going to mention this story. I read this story not long ago about a submarine. It was called Thresher. It was a U.S. Navy submarine, and it was a nuclear-powered submarine. And some of you may remember this story. I don't know if you remember this happening, but it's a story that you might have heard. A nuclear submarine that sank in 1963, and what they did was they were testing the submarine at a certain depth, and these people, that there was 112 or 15 people on it, I think, and these people were confident. They had faith in their submarine that it was going to do what they wanted it to do. It was just a routine test. We're going to go down to 1,000 feet, and we're going to do a couple tests there, then we're coming back up. Well, it didn't work out that way. They went down to 1,000 feet, and apparently a small pipe, inside the submarine burst and started spraying water all over an electrical panel. It shorted out the electrical panel. They had to shut off their nuclear reactor. They didn't have any way to propel the thing, and they were slowly sinking. And they had... When they went to blow the air out, which was supposed to make them buoyant, the valves froze up because they were slow in the ocean. This was all assumed to have happened. Nobody was even sure, because they were in contact with the people on the ship above, and then all of a sudden there was nothing. And what happened, eventually they discovered that the ship slowly sank down, 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 until it got to the point where the water pressure was so great it couldn't bear it anymore, and the ship collapsed. And everybody on it died. In fact, the largest piece they could find was a 3-foot piece of pipe. It just destroyed it. And you know, I had to think, all these people that went down in there, they had faith in their machine, that it was safe, that it was going to take them to this depth and they were going to come back up. But they didn't know that something was going to go wrong. And so often, that's what happens with man's ideas, man's things. They aren't faithful. They aren't trustworthy, necessarily. But God is truly faithful, and he's trustworthy. You know, in Hebrews, we see all these people and what they did. In And sometimes I think it's just overwhelming to look at these people and think of all the faithful things they did, and you know, here I am, what can I do? And but these were humans, and we can see their mistakes too. And so I think if we are faithful, I believe if we're faithful to what God has called us to do, you know, he'll work out the other details. Daniel, I had to think of how these people may have looked at that time in their life. Some of them probably looked sort of foolish. Noah probably looked foolish building an ark. Daniel, he looked foolish. He prayed. He got thrown in the lion's den simply for praying once a day. But in retrospect, those people look like pillars of faith. So instead of focusing on what the world around us thinks and what a man's opinion is, we should look to God and have faith in him as the one who's always there, who's always been there for us, and who's immovable, unchangeable. He deserves our faith. Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good to them who love God. And you know, I had to think, if we put our faith in the Lord, he will take us to where he wants us to go. And if we follow him, he will give us the leading that we need. So that's all I have. It's just an encouragement to read about these faithful people. And hopefully I and all of us can be faithful and serve God where he calls us and what he asks us to do. Okay, I'm going to turn the time over to Dayton this time.